Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. I got it today. Even with my GERD, I got it today. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, Charge. Nailed it, buddy.
Well done.
Nailed it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You are headed off to another state entirely just to see a comedian today. Tell me more.
Leaving tomorrow, technically, although today when people hear this. I think Brian Regan is one of the great comedians of the last, now he's been going like, you know, 15 years, but I think he's one of the great and especially clean comedians, the anti Nikki Glaser, if you will, of stand up, and amazed that he's one of the guys who's gotten to A-list stand up comic territory, but never really parlayed that into something more. Movie appearances, a Spartan few TV appearances. He's got a recurring role on Loudermilk. But I think Brian Regan's really, really funny. He's not coming here to the Twin Cities. And it's my birthday this week. So we're like, let's just do some fun. Let's drive to Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. No, Wade. I got to get in on this on the ground floor. This is my deal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now, that was Fargo was set in Brainerd, Minnesota, right?
That would be Bemidji. Bemidji. You're very close. You're very close.
And that's on the western. And that's on the western edge of North Dakota.
It's in Minnesota. Fargo is what is the eastern edge of North Dakota. Bemidji is northwestern Minnesota.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. Is that it's on the western edge of Minnesota, just across the border from North Dakota.
It coincidentally to this whole conversation, which I did not know was going to come up. I just rewatched season one of Fargo, and it is 10 out of 10 television. It is phenomenal.
Someone just brought this up. I forget what in context. It might have been on the air, might have been off the air, who knows? And they were saying the same thing. They were saying that the TV show Fargo is outstanding in addition to the movie.
It is. I think it's better than the movie. And Billy Bob Thornton plays a horrific character that is chilling. And it is one of the
worst than the dead-eyed killers in the movie.
Yes.
How's that possible? Because those dudes, the guy with the cigarette barely hanging out of his mouth, freaked me the fuck out.
He's so good. And he has so many amazing scenes. And I can't. I can't tell you what comes next with his character, Billy Bob Thornton's character, later in about the halfway point of the season. But man, Fargo season one, can't recommend it highly enough. And yeah, Brian Regan, I think he's fantastic.
How long of a drive is it?
4 hours. So I'm dedicating 8 hours of road time to Brian Regan plus the cost to go to the show.
And it's you and your lovely bride, Roxy.
Correct.
I love it. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Here's a little Brian Regan for you.
Manager for a dog. Remember Bud Light had Spuds McKenzie? Yeah? Well, I wasn't qualified to be his campaign manager. But I was the campaign manager for Alex the dog from the Stroh's beer commercials. The Stroh's ads, they would have, Alex would go get beers.
That's
for
his, right. What a great commercial that was.
So they thought, let's capitalize on this. Let's have him run for president of the United States. So Alex can't talk because he's a dog. So they thought, let's get like a funny campaign manager. And that's where I failed miserably.
Anyway, so there's Brian Regan, for those who don't know. Very, very funny and very clean. And it's great because that's the kind of guy you can pull up clips of when you're sitting down after dinner with a family gathering with grandma and the kids, because you know they're all clean jokes.
Yes. Yep. You don't have to worry about what's coming next. So, yeah, that's I don't have a problem with comedians that do dirty. But I do hate, and this is going to be a very contrarian take, the people who swear.
Gee, you're not the laughs. You're not known for those, Charge.
No,
go on.
Certainly not on this podcast.
Go on.
Here we go. Comedians who got laughs just by swearing. And here's the guy that did it, who's the biggest offender. Richard Pryor.
Wow.
And I'm not saying his other bits aren't funny, but that guy just used profanity to get laughs, and it didn't age. It's not funny anymore.
No.
Back, you know, in its day, I think it was funnier just to hear the F-bomb every other word. Now it's his stuff.
Energy plus profanity will get guys over if they have sort of that likable face and demeanor. I would argue, maybe this is a hot take, maybe it's a duh, where you been? Kevin Hart is the new black Dane Cook.
Ooh.
He is.
That's harsh.
Well, I'm just saying, he is incredibly not funny when you strip away the overall Kevin Hart presentation. I mean, not as funny as Chris Rock in his heyday, before Chris Rock decided he wanted to make movies and be a part of civilized woke society and decided all his jokes he used to do, he can't do them anymore. That Chris Rock was funny. He was subversive. He was creative. Yep. He had jokes you're like, wow, I did not see that one coming. So,
and we don't get, and unfortunately we don't get that anymore. And isn't that always the case? Why does Jimmy Kimmel end up happening? Why do guys who made their name doing guy humor and, you know, not sometimes anti-woke stuff, right? In the case of Jimmy Kimmel, why do they always flip at some point?
Well, because the movies are where the money and the fame is.
I suppose.
Movie is where, more importantly, you cannot be that disruptive, holy shit, I can't believe you said it, because we all know it's true, but it sure is kind of racist. You can't get invited to the parties you want to go to. You don't hang out in the Hamptons with the people you want to rub elbows with. Fame and celebrity are absolute irresistible urges for most people that are close to it. You get close enough as a moth to that flame, you're going to fly into it. That's my theory, but just a theory.
It makes sense. I mean, there are a handful of cases of guys that didn't, like Jimmy Kimmel's ex-sidekick, Adam Carolla, right?
But he walked a lonely road. When he decided to walk down that road, sure, he's made a shit ton of money now on his podcast, but he was one of the first podcasters, and he had to be involved in that big lawsuit with the guy who was trying to challenge the patents to podcasting. Remember that?
Right. Well, how absurd.
Yeah.
How absurd. There is a special wing of hell just for patent trolls. The worst human beings. Find a worse, more despicable human being than patent trolls. Almost impossible to do.
Dan Snyder.
The worst people in the world.
Yeah. There's a few out there.
Did he make his money that way? Or is he just even somehow worse than that?
Oh, no. Dan Snyder made his money through scuzzy marketing tactics. He would slam people's phone service back in the 90s, where basically you could forcibly change somebody's long distance without them knowing or consenting.
What the hell?
You look it up. It was called slamming. So back in the day, kids, I'm going to put on my old man shirt and glasses now. So back in the day, your home phone, that's all you had because cell phones were only the fantasies of Michael Douglas in Wall Street. Your home phone was your only phone. And if you wanted to call somebody far away, like me calling Charge, it cost extra monies, lots of monies per minutes. So long distance carriers would then, you know, compete against each other to try to give lower rates. Like, hey,
yeah,
you're only paying 65 cents a minute for long distance. What a bargain. AT&T is $1.04. Fucking ripoff, by the way. Do the math on a simple 30-minute call to your mom. You're like, God damn, mom, it's getting expensive. And so you had the long distance ride on top of your existing local phone service, and that you could hop around without changing your number. And what companies would do, like Dan Snyder did, is he would get in there and they would somehow be able to bump you off of one, put you on another. Then you get a bill. Like, why am I getting a bill from MCI? I thought I was an AT&T guy.
Right.
Because you got slammed and the FCC stepped in, shut it down, fined people that were involved in it, but the rich assholes that did it went on their merry way because we live in a nation with no consequences, you know?
For some.
Basically, for some. For many, but for some. Yep. Okay, I digress.
My scam for trying to avoid phone charges as a kid, my mom dropped me off at the roller rink.
And you would call collect, and your mom would say, I don't know who this is.
That's right. I would, when I needed to get picked up, because whatever money I did have went to Asteroids and Pac-Man and a hot dog.
In other words, well spent. Those are called good uses for monies.
Correct. Calling my mom to pick me up was not one of them. So you're exactly right. You know the scam. You call collect and she would decline the charge and she'd know to come pick me up.
Yeah. Speaking of quarters in video games and whatnot, my sister and I were talking last week about how you have this pinball machine. We got to talk about pinballs. Godzilla. We once had a pinball machine in our basement. It was very primitive. And there's actually, by the way, Church, there's a pinball arcade in my small hometown here in Western Loudoun County, where for $15 for the whole day, you can play any machine you want all day long. I've not been, but my daughter went with her care companion, and they said they had a great time. So we got to talking about this, right? And my sister goes, oh, wow, your friend has a pinball machine? I go, yeah, it's badass. It's called Godzilla. It's got all these cool ramps and chutes and mechanical things and costs like $8,000. And she's like, did you play it? And I go, did I play it? Played the fucking flippers off that thing. Wouldn't stop playing it. And she's like, did he make you put quarters into it? And I go, thankfully, no.
We do not charge our guests to play the games. I love the arcades where they let you, and now, by the way, they're all like brew arcades, right? So, I mean, the thing is now it's food, it's drinks.
Got to attract the hipsters.
Absolutely. And, you know, the people with the money, right? The kids don't have any money, right? But when you can get a 35-year-old to go on a date and order 4 beers and then play games, and, you know, there's a lot of money, much more money in that. The only downside with the $15 play forever is somebody will camp out on a machine and just be like, you know what? I'm playing Godzilla for 2 hours. Right. Or I'm playing the brand new Jaws games for 2 hours. That's the only downside of that.
Yeah. I would say pinball, greater sign, axe throwing as a cheap date. Way more fun.
I agree.
Axe throw. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Okay. All right, so let's get to the NFL draft. As you know, it's next week. Teams spend an inordinate amount of money, resources, human capital to try to figure out, can this guy really play on Sundays or is he going to suck? And the most important position, quarterback, they still can't fucking figure it out. It remains one of the fascinating, enduring mysteries in the modern world that they can't figure it out. And this year is an especially rich class of maybe or maybe not on guys. What do you know? What do you think? And you've got some prop bets you can wager on the draft.
And before we get to those, let me ask you this. Given that it works out so badly, so often for teams that spend potentially millions of dollars to get it right between their scouting departments, the outside sources that they bring in, all the interviews that they conduct, the combine, everything that goes into working a draft, $1 million is very reasonable to think that that's what teams put in. And they still get it wrong all the time. Where do you think the NFL success in the NFL draft, where does it fall on the luck versus skill scale? Luck versus skill.
50-50.
To get it right and wrong.
50-50. Right down the middle. It's a coin flip. 50-50. Because you can't account for injuries. And you can't, you can try to research a kid's background, but you don't really know. Some guys come in the league, they finally have money, and all of their fucking dipshit family comes out of the woodwork and starts clawing at them, distracting them. I believe that's what happened to the rolling ball of Butch and I's running back out of Alabama who got traded to the Colts, Richardson.
He had a notorious group of hanger-oners to the point that, like, the day his NFL career ended, he was broke.
Yeah, exactly.
He had been paying so much money to his entourage.
Right. So how do you know that for sure? They're going to hide that. They're going to snow you in the interview. The interview process is the dumbest, biggest waste of time ever, but you kind of still believe in it, but that's fine. And also it's hard to tell what quarterback's traits translate to Sunday because there's not even enough on tape from college. Even if they played 3 or 4 years in college, they're running a simple scheme. They're throwing bubble screens. Guys are wide open. They're not getting pressured. So it's like, well, none of this shit applies to Sunday. You're always going to be running for your life. You're going to have a half an arm of open on a wide receiver. You got to put them there. And the fucking offenses are complex as shit. So good luck.
Good luck. It's, you know, you would think by now, with all the ways that we have to measure and ascertain good and bad traits and skills and everything else that we never used to have, you know, in the old days, You remember Gil Brandt?
Yeah. Right? Old Gil Brandt.
I've interviewed him several times. You probably have had the opportunity to do so as well. He would go to the drafts with a copy of Athlon's.
Yeah.
They were making picks with Athlon's magazine as their primary resource, for the love of God.
Yeah.
And he was one of the better GMs out there.
I know. Well, right? we could have had this draft literally the day after the championship game, and I don't think there would have been any more valuable information other than height, weight, and a physical to make sure someone's knee isn't all fucked up. That's about it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the greatest 3 months of overthinking, rethinking, turning inside out you could ever do. But
and the NFL loves it.
Oh, they love it.
We love it. We love it. You know, sure, the scouts, you know, on January 1st, the scouts, the internal stuff, that doesn't change that much. But for the rest of us, we're playing catch up after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, while we're going in February and March, hey, J.J. McCarthy might not be like the third rounder we thought he was. And then maybe he's not the second rounder we thought he was. And then, holy shit, he might be in the top five. You know, teams probably already knew that in January.
Are your Vikings going to move up to get him?
No.
Really? Will they get him if he falls to them in their lap at what round? Or what?
Well, if he's there at 11, in the unlikely event he's there at 11, he'll be a Viking then.
Okay.
Or if he drops to close to there, then I think it happens. But let me see if you buy this narrative or the narrative I'm pushing here. Okay. So every mock draft, like 90% of them, unless the mock draft tour, the person who's putting it together, has specifically said, I'm not doing trades. They all have a trade with the Vikings moving up to 4 or 5. Like all of them, 98% of them do, which is a lazy, lazy narrative dip because it fits the narrative that the mock drafter wants, which is I need to get the Vikings up to a quarterback spot. If there's a team that's going to move, it's going to be them. It helps fill that need. And it's almost like everybody assumes there's 31 other teams that are going to help fill that for the Vikings. And there's not. Teams aren't moving. Washington's not moving out of two. They need a quarterback. They're taking a quarterback. There's virtually nothing that you could offer Washington to make that move.
So why, if so many people see smoke, billowing smoke of a Vikings move up to get McCarthy, why are you saying it's not smoke, it's just steam?
Because the cost to move up is very expensive. The first three teams in the draft aren't moving because they need quarterbacks just like the Vikings do. And if you're the Vikings, then you want the fourth best quarterback for the draft from the draft, and you're going to give up
a first round pick,
a second round pick, and more. Come on. I mean, it's just some point you go, okay, for the fourth best quarterback in a draft.
Right.
You know, so you know,
well,
I think the Vikings hold pat.
Well, the option is then Sam Darnold. Hey, he could be pretty good. Let's go have a season, a whole season. Start to finish with Sam Darnold.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
Let's do
and
that.
And just what that means to have a Sam Darnold quarterback for this team, which is I'd say 90% chance Sam Darnold's the starter week one, and a very good chance he's the starter full year if he stays healthy. Here's what we're talking about.
Which he won't, and he'll get benched. But go ahead.
He has played 56 games.
Played or started?
Started. Got 56 it. Games.
That's a he big, has, big body yeah. of work.
Yeah, he's got a winning percentage of .375.
Yikes.
He has in 38, it was 38 starts, 56 appearances, 38 games.
By the way, stop everyone who's a wins or not a quarterback stat. People just don't email me because I'm not having it. I'm not hearing it. I don't care. It's a valuable reference point. I don't believe in it above all other reference points. But in today's modern NFL, I think it's worth noting. Does this guy actually win games? Fair enough. You and I are on the same page on that?
Nope, we're not.
Oh,
because this was the Kirk Cousins debate. This is what ran through.
So you're not daunted by his shitting winning percentage.
I'm not, because here's why. Like the Vikings' last playoff run 2 years ago, the Vikings got knocked out in the first round because the opposing team never punted, not once. And everybody blames Kirk Cousins, and they say he can't win in the playoffs. The opposing team didn't punt one time.
I know, but that's a smaller subset. I believe Cousins had a winning record in Washington.
I think he did. He had a winning record in Minnesota.
Right. So as long as you are at least near 500, like to me, I think Sam Darnold's proven he's not good.
He's not good. By the way, 56 interceptions and 38 fumbles in 38 games, which is almost impossible to think about. He's got 100 turnovers in 38 games.
So
come on.
So while you may balk at the price, and by you I mean Viking fans and or the team may balk at the price to move up just to get the fourth best guy, your option is almost unspeakably worse. Unless you have the stomach to go, yeah, we're going to have a year, it's probably going to suck, but that's sports, and we're going to be back at it at the end of this year and hopefully be in a position to draft somebody or get a quarterback or clear out our cap space. Very few NFL teams want to have that bye year like baseball teams do all the time. Mm-hmm. NFL does not work that way yet.
No.
Yet. Maybe that's going to change, but nobody wants to not have a season.
No, because I think part of the reason is there are so many examples of teams that turn it around and turn it around fast. I mean, look at two years ago, Jacksonville went from the first pick in the draft to winning their division. Houston
and winning a playoff game. And then Houston, same thing. Right.
Right. You know, and you know, it helps when you go find your quarterback.
Yeah, they both got a quarterback in the top two picks. So there you go. All right, for the record, I want to just state this right here. This is me planting my flag, okay? On the five top quarterbacks, perceived quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr.
Yep.
Here's what I think, and we can clip and save this for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Here's what I think is going to become of all five. All right? You ready? Here we go.
Ready.
Caleb Williams is going to be a fucking disaster freak show. He's RG3.
Wow. Okay.
RG3 2.0. Not just bad and inconsistent, but a fucking weirdo with a crazy over-involved dad. Drake May will be solid. Daniels will be good, really good, but then get fucking busted up left and right because he's still very thin and likes to run. Mm-hmm. McCarthy is going to be exceptionally meh. He might be Mac Jones 2.0 without everybody hating his ass. And Penix is going to suck. I'm not buying this. Oh, you know, take another look at Penix. Penix is going to suck donkey dick. There. Boom. So Williams, disaster. May, solid. Daniels, good, but hurt. McCarthy, meh. Penix sucks.
So let's talk Penix for a second. Right now, you can put him on the Vikings at plus 470. The Vikings will have two cracks at Penix in all probability, 11 and 23. They are going to be quarterback desperate, quarterback crazy, and quarterback needy teams do dumb things. They reach for quarterbacks, you know, like the Steelers did, for example.
Kenny Pickett. They talked themselves into Kenny Pickett, just like the Falcons talked themselves into Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder, right, just like the Titans did with Will Levis.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ding, ding,
yes.
Ding.
Yes, and so... Okay, so plus 470, Michael Penix to end up on the Vikings. They got two cracks at him, at least two. They could move down and have a
good
more.
Prop bet there. I like that. We're calling Penix a closing time special, where you're looking at the chick and you're like, you know, she's not that bad. She looks spunky too. I bet she'd be great in bed. Come on, let's go. Come on,
let's see what happens.
Yeah,
let me give you the other quarterback bet I like. Speaking of Will Levis. Titans are sitting at 7. You can get their odds on the first player being drafted to be a quarterback is, what do you, want to make a guess?
Titans sitting at
7. First player drafted to be a quarterback.
They already have a bunch of bad ideas currently on their roster at quarterback. So what's one more?
Correct. Right.
They've got to be plus 220.
Plus 3,500.
What?
Exactly. 3,500. So Will Levis sucks.
He sucks.
You know, as a reminder, they have a brand new coaching staff that has no allegiance whatsoever to anybody who was already on staff. And you'll remember Will Levis's NFL debut. He had a 4-touchdown game against Atlanta in week 8. The rest of the season, he threw 4 touchdowns. That's it. His Pro Football Focus ranking for Will Levis, 43rd last year, behind Easton Stick, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and Mason Rudolph. His 57% completion rate, dead last among NFL quarterbacks behind Bailey Zappi, Zach Wilson, Josh Dobbs, and a dozen other non-functional NFL backups have found their way to the ice, or to the field.
The ice. They should be on ice, though, for good.
They should be on ice.
Like a dead fish, they should be on ice.
So this is one of my favorite long shot bets is Titans at 7 know that Will Levis. They know plenty about Will Levis. He ain't the answer. And they end up finding their way to a quarterback.
And it doesn't mean that it has to be at their natural spot. They may splurge to move up. Yeah.
Or up. Yeah. That's right. Because the cost to move up from 7 to 5 is cheap.
Yeah.
So they could move up and go get J.J. McCarthy.
Interesting. Okay. Any other prop bets? And then I want you on record about the 5 quarterbacks. Good, great mess, suck on all 3. You don't have to be as vulgar as I was saying the things I said. I wouldn't make you do that. And then I got 5 minutes on Live Nation, and then we're done.
Okay. The other angle that I like a lot, and it's not to get terribly detailed and boring on this, but Malik Nabers might be the best wide receiver in this draft, even better than Marvin Harrison Jr. And a lot of people think it's neck and neck between these two.
Yeah.
A lot of people that know more about
big
this
Nabers,
than me.
There's a big Nabers push since
there
the season
is.
Ended. Yeah.
There is. Because he's great. Top 5. So Malik Nabers going in the top 5 of the draft, which means he can go after Marvin Harrison. It can go Marvin Harrison 4 to the Cardinals and then Nabers 5 to San Diego, and that which formerly San Diego, now LA.
Right.
Plus 150 for Malik Nabers, top 5. I like it.
Okay. All right. On the quarterback front, Caleb Williams, great, meh, suck.
Very good.
Drake May, great, meh, suck.
I love Drake May. Okay, I love Drake May.
All right.
I think he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback.
Jaden Daniels, great, meh, suck.
Great moments followed by missed time and some missed plays. I think he'll be inconsistent, but he'll be a highlight machine.
Okay. J.J. McCarthy, great, meh, suck.
In the right landing spot, he will be a good, not great NFL quarterback.
All right. And then finally, Michael Penix Jr., who people forget conveniently, he played at Indiana by choice for a long fucking time. That ought to question your, that ought to make you question his motivation right there. What will he be? Great, mass suck.
He will wash out of the NFL. Okay. The mechanics are bad. He's terrible out of the pocket. He bounces on his feet. He's got happy feet. He would rather throw to his covered first option than make his reads. He doesn't anticipate people being open. He needs to be under shotgun. There are a lot of things I do not like about Michael Penix.
All right. Now we got this. Because you're going to see a comedian, but not a concert, but you go to plenty of concerts.
I do.
Department of Justice to open antitrust investigation on Live Nation. Oh, really? Wow. So it's considered an illegal monopoly when you own the artists and the venues. Oh, and the distribution of tickets to said shows. Wow.
And the resale market.
And the resale market. Yeah, maybe we should look into this. About fucking time, DOJ.
No kidding. You know, and by the way, you know, we've okayed their mergers over time, which is a huge mistake.
We meaning the DOJ, not the you DOJ. And I. Right.
Well, this would be the FCC or FTC, the Federal Trade Commission.
Okay,
but yes.
Right.
So I've learned a lot about this, and I've talked about it on air before. Ticketmaster is in the business of being the bad guy. That's their model. They are not in the ticket business. They are not in the artist business. They are in the bad guy business. They take the heat for the people who want to get paid but not take the heat. And let me explain. So,
meaning the artists.
And the venues. So here's what happens. When you see that absurd, you pay $100 per seat.
Right.
And you see this absurd, like $40 per ticket fee that comes in. And you're like, what the fuck is $40 for what? What service am I getting out of that? And by the way, they barely even have customer support. But that $40 secretly is going to the artists and the venues. And they're the ones, we love our favorite venues and the people that work there and, you know, the hardworking locals, blah, blah, blah. And we love the artists. And yeah, turns out they're getting that money.
Right.
That's some of it's going to Ticketmaster, but a lot of it isn't. But the artists don't want to, they don't want to be look like the bad guys on that. but they're the ones getting paid on this too.
I'm this close to buying a $250 seat. I put that in demonstrative air quotes to Kenny Chesney at AmFam this summer, but it's in the so-called the beach pit where there are no seats. Now,
oh, you have to pull up some lawn.
Well, you just have to stand, you know.
Oh, stand. Oh, so you're okay. So you'd be on the floor. Stand.
Well, yeah, but Kenny Chesney with the whole beach vibe. It's called like the beach pit, or I forget what they call it. I've not seen him in concert, but I want to go. I hear it's a great party. $250, and I'm like, oh, that's even before all the fees and shit. And I don't even get a chair to sit my fat ass down. But then I noticed it said, "Hurry, only six left," and I'm thinking, it's a fucking roped off area. As soon as those six sell, you probably just hit reset on six more. Like, how do I know what your capacity is for a area of the stadium that does not have any seats? Seems fishy to me.
Super fishy, isn't it? But there's a certain number of people they're allowed by fire code, right? To put on the, you know, put on the floor. And maybe there is only six seats left or standing room for right. six people.
Exit question. Will anything happen to truly break up the unholy monopoly of tickets, venues, and artists?
No. I want to believe
get
yes.
Get out of
but,
here.
You know, but no.
Get out of here.
It should be yes, but there's no justice.
I relied on you for
world.
Some hope, George, and you gave me nothing.
I can't do it.
All right, buddy. Drive safe.
Love you.
See
Bye.
You. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.